From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're talking with Susan Felder from the Theater Department at Bradley University. Their new production is The Seagull by Anton Chekhov. It opened last night and continues through Sunday, March 6th. Susan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, Susan, this is an iconic work. It's been performed for over 100 years. Can you tell us a little bit about the cast of characters and why these people are still, they still resonate with audiences today?
Well, the cast of characters, it's broad. There are a lot of artists and writers and people who wish they were artists and writers. Mm-hmm. There are people who are established in their careers and a lot of youth who are dreaming about being famous, who are dreaming about being famous writers, who can't get a foot in the door and are struggling toward their dreams. There's the young writer Constantine, whose mother's a famous actress but won't give him the time of day. And her lover is a famous writer. So he's contending with that. At the same time, he's trying to put on a play and change the face of the world with this style of the play, with a different style of play, with his girlfriend Nina, who lives across the lake. And everybody in this play loves the wrong person. Everybody loves somebody that they maybe can't have, much like real life. And they, much like real life, one of the reasons that we that I chose this play was I have students in my office all the time and telling me these, you know, like dreadful failures that they have or terrible, even just a terrible day that they have. And then I watch them walk out my office door and smile like nothing's wrong to their peers. And I know that that's how we all go through our days. And Chekhov was very interested in that and in exposing us for our secrets. And so many people in this play do not find out anybody's secrets, but the audience knows all of them. And it's those little triumphs, those little defeats that we go through that we think, oh, it's only us. And Chekhov's, all of Chekhov's characters deal with that. So it's largely a play about the pursuit of dreams. You know, we've broken it down. The first act is the pursuit and chase of their dreams, you know, whether it's being famous, and some of them don't even understand what their dreams are. They just have a an idea of fame or wanting to be an actress or wanting to be a famous writer. And it's interesting, the writer, famous writer, all he wants to do is fish. All he wants to do is take some time off. So the first act is very pursuing your dreams. The second act is wrestling with the dreams that you're pursuing and getting crushed by them on some level or achieving some of them and seeing what that is. And then the third act, it's really it's just two acts. It's about a two and a 15 minute or hour play, 2 hours 15 minutes. But then the third part of it is trying to escape the dreams that they're the nightmare that their dreams have become. And the fourth act is how do you deal with reality, like for real? So it's a play about pursuing your dreams. And I watch my students every day, and which is why I chose this particular piece. Because of the heartbreak, because it's also very funny. And I watch them fight hard for their dreams and fight to be the stars of their own stories. And that's very much what these characters are doing. And they don't always achieve it. But then what do you do?
One of the things that I've found about Chekhov is that he can be very opaque. The characters talk a lot, but they talk around the subject matter. They talk around their feelings. They're very opaque. And I think one of the challenges in getting into Chekhov is really cutting through all of that and digging to the meat of the characters and the emotions. And can you talk a little bit about going through that process with your actors?
Well, it's one of the ways that this, you know, play, for whatever, it being iconic play, this guy changed – he changed the world. I mean, we wouldn't have movies today, realistic movies, if it weren't for him changing acting. Because everything was sort of on the surface. If I didn't like you, I'd say you're a terrible human being. In Chekhov and in real life, if we don't like you, we might say, hey, how long are you staying? You know, but to find that subtext.
Yeah.
And that's – he's famous for subtext because it is how we go through life. We don't look at the people we hate and go, get out of here, I hate you, unless we're pushed to an extreme. What we do is beat around the bush and to try to have a cast that can understand, okay, why did he phrase it this way? Like, we know he hates that guy. you know, so why do you phrase it this way? And to trust that you can say to somebody, hey, how long are you staying, without having to be sarcastic? Because if you're a scene partner, like if I hated you, Nathan, and said, hey, how long are you staying? I would not want you to know that I hated you, right? I would try to make you think, and that's where the subtext gets tricky, because it's like real life. So you're absolutely right. It's a great word, unpacking it, so that both the actors and the director understand, oh, this is really what's going on. And we have to be true to that. We can't tip our hands by, you know, acting mean to somebody that we hate. We smile brighter at somebody that we hate, right? So unpacking this play and figuring out what makes these characters tick. There are no villains. There are no heroes. Just like in real life, one person's hero is another person's villain in real life, you know. And these, when this play first came out, they didn't know what to do with it because they were used to melodramas. Yeah. And they thought, wait, where's the black hat? I don't know what this is. It's just people doing things for real. We don't get it. Right. So it took a while to be able to go, oh, my gosh, no, that's me up there. Oh, my gosh, they put me up there. You know, and that's, I think that's the glory of Chekhov. If you, once you do unpack it, it takes a lot of work, as an actor and a director to do it.
And so do you think that's perhaps why this play and Chekhov's other plays have held their place in the repertoire, because they give actors and directors so much to work with and so many places to make choices?
You have got to make sure that you absolutely understand your character and that you don't sentimentalize your character or villainize. Even if I'm doing a Shakespeare play and somebody's playing a terrible villain like Iago, Iago can't think he's a villain.
Right.
He can't. And so if you're dealing with a Chekhov play, Chekhov absolutely does not let you do that. There's no way you can do that. So I forgot your question.
No, is that why we continue to do Chekhov and continue to see Chekhov? Because there's so much opportunity there for exploration.
If it is done well, the truth of it, it's just true like nothing else in the world. You can be having a terrible day, the end of your life, and all of a sudden a banana peel is funny to you, and you're crying and laughing at the same time. And unlike, and I'm a Shakespeare scholar, but unlike Shakespeare, if I go into a Shakespeare play, I have to think about what it was to kill my uncle or to protect my kingdom. And while it's all very fun, and there, you know, Shakespeare gets to the heart of humanity, I don't want to undersell him, but Chekhov is, my girlfriend doesn't love me, it's the end of the world. And that is stuff that we can hang on to. My mother, does my mom like me enough? How come my mom won't help me? How come she's dating that man who might steal my girlfriend? I mean, it's just like, what? It's so contemporary, domestic, real life. It's what we all go through. I'm not busy being the Queen of England, but I am busy loving somebody I shouldn't be loving, you know.
Susan, as you talk about the importance of subtext, nuance, and realism in Chekhov's work, how does the translation that you are performing aid in that?
I read 8 translations. Because they're tricky, because they can get very stilted. And one of the reasons that I think they are very stilted is in the past they were translated by the Brits, by the British. And there's a different sensibility there. There's we must remain polite. We must say it in a certain way. Those Russians are a little too rough and crude and vodka crazy, you know. And there's something about America, that we understand eating chicken with your fingers and drinking vodka and getting in there and screaming at our mother when we need to. It's no stiff upper lip. And so this translation is much closer, I think, to what this author originally intended. This author descended from peasants. Chekhov's grandfather was a serf, you know, and just getting down to like eating chicken with your fingers is the best example. They drink a lot of vodka in this play when they're not trying to seduce each other. So, or when they are trying to seduce each other, come to think of it. So, yeah, but this translation is I think, really, really accessible. And I got it from, there's been several theaters in New York that did this one. A friend of mine directed it. And she said, take a look at this. And I went, oh, my gosh, this makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. It's just, you forget that it's a different time period. You know, that it's Russia on the lake, you know, in 1895. You forget that. Until somebody mentions something, you know.
Chekhov described this play as a comedy, and yet as you know, as you talk about the frustrated ambitions and the romantic quarrels, this doesn't sound like a lot of comedies mm-hmm. I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. So you know what makes this play a comedy?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because our lives, when we tell a terrible story about our past, I mean, unless it's about somebody who died, right? It's like I talk about the terrible things that happened to me, and they're funny stories. They really are. There's a little perspective there. And, you know, the joke about Chekhov is that when he died, his last word in his brain was, "Oh, you people, you live so badly." You know, so things like a woman being terribly, terribly jealous of another woman, and, well, just of anybody that approaches this man in her life. And somebody just happens to give him a flower. Right. And she's heartbroken. She walks up and she says, "Give me that flower." And he does. And she rips it to shreds, every last piece of that flower. Well, that is ridiculous and funny, mm-hmm. you know, or the way that we argue that we're fine one minute and the next minute we find a way to tear each other apart. And then we're so sorry that we did that. That's ridiculous. You know, so there's a lot of humor in just watching ourselves and how crazy we mm-hmm. act. When we're jealous, when we're working for something, when we think it's the end of the world, you know, Chekhov lets us sit back a little, and we still feel it. I mean, I hope that people leave here heartbroken and laughing with tears. I mean, that's a whole Chekhovian thing, laughing through the tears, you know, mm-hmm. Because they do exist simultaneously in life. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been at my lowest with a friend who's got their arm around me, and he'll say the littlest thing, and I just start laughing mm-hmm. at it because we need both of them at the same time. I don't know another playwright who masters that weird combination like Chekhov does. Mm-hmm.
That's Susan Felder talking about Bradley University's production of The Seagull. Performances continue through next Sunday, March 6th, at the Hartman Center Theater. Thank you so much for being with us, and break a leg.
Thank you.
This Sunday, the musical group Random Strangers will perform at the Peoria Reads kickoff event at the Music in the Mackenzie series at the Peoria Public Library's North Branch. Copies of the Peoria Reads book, The Things They Carried, by Tim O'Brien will be given away, and a full list of Peoria Reads events will be available. Random Strangers will perform rock and roll tunes of the Vietnam War generation. The event is free and open to the public from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can listen to an extended version of this interview by going to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About. Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.